spectacular and great Sunday service. Hallelujah. We count it a great privilege to be in His presence today. Amen. Hallelujah. This morning we're going to start, we're going to open a new series, and it's called, the series is titled Hope. Hope, the Blueprint of Faith. Hallelujah. And this is going to go on for 4 to 6 weeks. Hallelujah. And we're going to be examining exactly what hope is all about and how we can put hope to use as a force, as a very potent force in our Christianity. Hallelujah. And I believe you're going to be blessed by this series. And I also believe that it is also coming at a very crucial time in our, would I say, in our situation, or the situation of the country, or the situation of the world, because your hope is very important. And we also need to find out how to protect that hope, how to develop it, how to nurture it, hallelujah, so that we can ride far above the things, the elemental forces of the earth that are troubling the sons of men today. Amen. And I just want us to ensure that we stay tuned. Hallelujah. Mostly there will be things you've probably heard before, but you've never really put in the right perspective. And I believe that the Holy Ghost is here to open our understanding. Amen. So we're going to start. If you have your Bibles with you, please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. So that's where we're going to kick off from. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. If you are there, say praise the Lord. Cool. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I believe this is clear enough. He says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So what the Bible is saying here is that your faith is giving substance to the things that you hope for. So it means that your faith alone cannot do the job. But what your faith has come to do is to substantiate, is to give material substance to something that is called hope. Hallelujah. So there is no talk about faith without talking about hope. Because all faith has come to do is to give a material substance to something that you are hoping for. And of course, we know that hope alone cannot do the job. Because what hope is a picture of what your expectation is. And anybody is free to have a picture of an expectation. But if you don't have what it takes to make that expectation become a reality, then it's just a wish. So we see two forces working together, and you cannot downgrade one of them for the other one, because you need both of them to work. You need your faith to work, and you need your hope to work. Hallelujah. For a long time, we've had many series and teachings going on faith. But we also need some teachings on hope as well, because having faith without hope is like me giving you a gun and not telling you where to shoot. Hallelujah. It means that you really don't have an objective. You don't know where you are going. You don't have a target. If you buy yourself a heater and that heater does not come with anything to regulate the temperature that the heater is meant to generate, then that heater is of no use to you. Because how are you going to be able to tell the heater that it's getting too hot now? I want to reduce the strength. You need what they call what? A thermostat. What a thermostat does is to regulate the strength of the output. What the thermostat does is to set a target for the heating equipment. You know, even the heating you have at home, you know that it's of no use if you cannot set the temperature that I want my house to be warm to 18 degrees centigrade. Now, if you don't have such a device and your heater just works on at maximum capacity, even during winter, you're going to feel like you are boiling. Hallelujah. So what the thermostat does is to set a target that the moment the heating equipment gets the room to this temperature, is actually going to stop. And when the temperature falls below that target, it will come on again. So it can bring the room back to that temperature. So that's the relationship between your heater and your thermostat. Your heater is supplying the power. The thermostat is regulating the power and directing the power to where it should go. Your heater without the thermostat is a disaster. Your thermostat without a heater means no result at all. You're going to freeze if your heater doesn't work and you're just fiddling with the thermostat. You turn the thermostat to 30 and the heater doesn't come on, I'll advise you to vacate that residence if it's winter time. Hallelujah. And that's the relationship between your hope and your faith. Your hope defines the target of your faith. But your faith must have a target. And that's what we're here to discuss today. So that's the relationship between your faith and your hope. Your faith is giving substance to your hope. Your faith is substantiating your hope. Hallelujah. And we're going to examine what kind of hope exists and what's the relationship between hope in your life and the other aspects of your life as well. I'd like to start by defining what is hope. Hope, simply put, is a picture. Hope, simply put, is a picture of your expectation or a picture of your future. That's hope. Hope is a picture of your expectation. And that's very easy to figure out. I'll tell you why it's very easy to figure out. I hope you know that we don't think in words. We think in pictures. Do you know that? We don't think in words. If I tell you that I have a dog, in your mind, if you close your eyes, in your mind, do you see the letters D, O, G? Is that what you see when you close your eyes? No. What you see is an image of a four-footed animal that is running around. That's what you see. You don't see the letters D-O-G. You see a picture of a four-footed beast running around. So you don't think in words or letters, but you actually think in pictures. And your hope is the picture of your future. So your hope is a picture of where you see yourself tomorrow. Your hope is a picture of where you see yourself in the future. Your hope is a picture of your future. Hallelujah. So that's hope, simply speaking. Along the line, we're going to define, you know, various kind of hopes, so that we can zero in on the right one. Because everybody here operates by hope, or some sort of hope. You're already operating by some sort of hope already. How do I know? I know. Because why did you make that decision to go to school? You made that decision to go to school and study for a degree because you are hoping that when you are done with it, you will get a better job. So that's hope. That's natural hope. You were hoping that when you get done with that program, you're going to get a better job. That's hope. And that hope keeps you going. That hope keeps you going to class when the rain is falling. You know, if you said to me that you are coming to visit me, yesterday, at so and so time, and just at the time you were about to leave, one heavy storm started. One heavy rain just started. And this was just a courtesy visit. It's not out of place if you just pick up the phone and say, "Ah, Pastor, man, the rain I see here is massive. Now, I can't even figure out how to walk to the station to even catch the train." And that is understandable. I say, in fact, the moment I hear that, I'll most likely advise you to stay home. But you see, the hope of a better job next year will take you through the rain to class. Why? Because you have a target. You understand? You have a target. Next year, you want to get a better job. You're not going to miss that class, especially when that class is the last one before the exam. Any wise student does not miss the last class before the exam, because you are most likely to have some tips about how the exam will go. You understand? Even if you are a truant, you will be very stupid to miss the last class. Because just out of concern, the teacher might just drop you two hints. Read that topic. And you know that if anything he says on that last day, you don't take it for granted. Because that might be the decider. So no matter how that rain is, you will get there. I assure you, you will get there. Praise the Lord. Why? Because there is a target and there is a hope. But when there is no hope, anything that happens on the way is strong enough to destabilize you, or to demobilize you rather. That's to make you stop, or to make you turn back. Anything that deflates your hope . There was one day I was listening to one man of God. He was preaching, and you see, these things can be infectious. He said one man wanted to jump off the bridge and commit suicide, and they sent a policeman, you know, this psychologist policeman, to go and talk him out of it, because the point where he was, you can't forcibly get him out of that point. You can only persuade him not to jump and come back. So they got this policeman to crawl up that dangerous place, get a bit closer to him, and talk to him. So So the policeman now asked him, so why exactly do you want to do this? What exactly is going on? And this man started his story. He said, job gone, wife gone, money gone, house gone. So he began to tell the story round and round to this policeman. Now, the policeman struck a chord with the man because he too was going through some things that the man had just mentioned. So maybe he too had just lost his wife or house. So it was like they struck a common chord. And they both looked at themselves and they just thought, man, it's really not worth it actually. So they both jumped into the river. Hallelujah. But the policeman did not start that day with the intention of jumping into the river. I hope you know. Even though things were still dodgy, but he didn't start that day with the intention of jumping into the river. So why did he jump into the river? Because of what he heard. Do you understand? So mind what you hear. That determines your hope. In the United Kingdom, unemployment has risen from 4% to 25%. Boy, that's not what you want now. If you are looking for a job, just shut that thing down. Kill it. That ain't going to help you, man. Just kill it. I want to change my job, so that's not the news I want to hear now. Hallelujah. I want to buy a home. Well, in the United Kingdom, the number of houses being repossessed has grown from 100 to 2,000. That's not what I want to hear now. Please. And you know, the thing is, the accent they're using to say these things, they sound very melodious. But the news is poisonous. Hallelujah. The news contains a lot of injury. Even though the accent is nice. Hallelujah. And to make matters worse, what they do is that they have the process of repetition. What they say at 7, they say at 7:15. They say at 7:30. So by the time you hear it like 6 times, because you keep your TV on BBC, right? BBC News 24. Well, by the time they say it 8 times, it will lodge itself as a stronghold inside your mind. So the day you run into a challenge, that is what comes up out of your heart. The Bible says that a good man out of the good treasure of his heart, the treasure there did not arrive there mistakenly. The treasure there was what you put inside it. And you know, the scripture went on to say, he said, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart. Then, if the scripture stopped there, that would have been confusing. He went on to say that an evil man also out of the evil treasure. So it means that you can possibly store good treasure or evil treasure in your heart. And the treasure that you store determines what you are seeing. And will also determine what will come forth out of you when pressure is applied on you. So let us mind what we hear, especially on a repeated basis. Let's go back to the definition of hope again. So like I said, we don't think in words or letters, we think in pictures. So if you look at your whole life today, the way you think, everything is in pictures. Hallelujah. Once you say you are thinking, what you are doing is that you are playing around with pictures. You are playing around with pictures in your mind. Hallelujah. If I say a dog, you can think of so many descriptions of a dog. If I say I have a dog, You might be wondering, what kind of dog is it? Is it a small one? Is it a big one? Is it a black one? Is it a white one? Is it a red one? Is it, you know, whatever? And then I say a big dog, then definitely you know it's not going to be a puppy. But then you are wondering, what color of dog is it? Then I say a big black dog. Now when I say a big black dog, suddenly the picture inside your mind begins to get more refined. Now you know it is big. Now you know it is black. Do you understand? And that is how pictures get formed inside your mind. Things become clearer to you when that picture is clear. Hallelujah. And then also, when we speak to ourselves, we are speaking in pictures, not in letters and words. When they were building the Tower of Babel, what did God say? God said that nothing that these guys have ever imagined can be restrained from them. That should give you a clue that whatever picture has stayed in your mind and is lodged inside your mind, God plus Satan working together cannot stop that picture from happening. Do you understand? He says, nothing shall be restrained from them, whatever they have imagined. Let's play with English for some time. Imagine means imagination, image, ination. So once you are imagining something, what you are doing is that you are constructing images inside you. That's what it means to imagine. When I say imagine a red car, what I'm asking you to do is to construct an image of a red car on the inside of you. So God is saying that nothing they have ever imagined will be restrained from happening to them. So it means that anything you imagine is on its way to happening to you. Ha! Oh, so what do you imagine? You need to ask now. And if what you imagine is what you don't like, you better start destroying those images now and start pulling them down, because they're going to happen if they remain there. Hallelujah. They're going to happen if they remain there. Hallelujah. Let me give you another definition of hope. Your hope is a picture of your future on the canvas of your spirit. You know what a canvas is? Something you draw, you paint on, with the ink of God's promises. And this picture is drawn by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the name of the artist who is drawing this picture. And the pen being used in drawing this picture is your tongue. The Bible says that my tongue is the pen of the ready writer. So the pictures that stay in your mind stay there because of the things that you say repeatedly. But Pastor, if someone is saying something to me repeatedly and I didn't say it, how will it end up staying in my mind? It's very easy. You see, if you allow something to be said to you repeatedly, you know what's going to happen? Your mind will have a picture of it. Once your mind has a picture of something, your mouth will also say it. And once your mouth says it, it will become more established in your mind. So the way to overrule a picture is to say something opposite it. Hallelujah. If there are things you want to be lodged inside your mind very securely, all you have to do is to say them repeatedly to yourself, or allow people to say it repeatedly to you, and it stays there. Hallelujah. But the question now is, what are you hearing? And what is being lodged into your mind? And is it what you really want to be lodged inside your mind. Hallelujah. Those are things that we need to establish. I know something about hope. Hope is tied to your existence. You see, when you have hope, there is a spring in your step when you are moving forward. You know, when you are walking, there is a spring in your step because you have hope. You've heard of the saying that when there is hope, when there is life, there is hope. But also, when there is hope, there is life. Because when you have hope, you have life. There's a spring in your step. You're looking forward to tomorrow because there is hope. Hallelujah. So the hope that you have determines how you carry yourself today. The picture you have determines how you carry yourself today. The picture of what you see happening tomorrow will determine how you carry yourself today. If you see a bright future, you will walk around differently. But if you see a bleak future, you're going to walk around differently based on what you are seeing. Now, nothing has happened yet, but based on what you are seeing. Because we're saying that that picture is for tomorrow. But the way that picture comes across to you determines how you position yourself. So if you see that it's all going to be bleak, 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 then you will adjust your whole being to the fact that it's going to be bleak, bleak, bleak tomorrow. But what God is saying to us is that, make no mistake about it, the picture that you sustain today is what you should be expecting tomorrow. No surprises. Hallelujah. Very few things surprise people in the world today, because what happened is what you were expecting. Isn't it? I knew I was going to fail that exam. It wasn't a surprise. You were expecting it. That's the picture you saw. That's the picture you saw. Even though secretly inside you were wishing you passed. And we're also wishing that there will be a pleasant surprise that your mark was just above the cutoff and you made it. But the overall picture that you are seeing, the overriding picture, is that, boy, that exam is blown, man. Hallelujah. So hope is what you are seeing. And God ties your future to your hope. So it means that what you are seeing today is what God is saying you should expect tomorrow. No surprises. Hallelujah. What you are seeing today is what God is saying that you should expect tomorrow. Because he said, nothing shall be restrained. That nothing shall be held back from happening, whatever they have imagined. Nothing shall be held back. It's all going to happen. Whatever they have imagined. And do you know how God stopped those guys? God said that not even me can get in the way of what you are imagining today from happening tomorrow. So even prayer cannot solve it. What I'm telling you now. Imagine the wrong things, then pray at night and don't change that imagination. God says, I'm too powerless to stop it from happening. Did you understand that? There's nothing God cannot do. He said, this one I can't do. I can't restrain it from happening. Once you have imagined it and you keep holding on to it, prayer will not even stop it. So you see that there are some things prayer cannot do. Prayer cannot stop whatever you have imagining from happening until you change that imagination. If you don't change it, God says, I can't restrain it. But do you know how God had to supernaturally stop those guys from building a tower. He says, let us go downstairs and divide their language. Why did he need to divide their language? You see, language is a tool of communicating pictures between human beings. Do you understand? If I have a picture inside me, the way I can communicate that picture to you is by describing that picture with words that you also understand, so that those words will come to you and paint the same picture that I had on the inside of me on the inside of you as well, so that we now have the same picture. And once we have the same picture inside our minds, then the Bible says that we are in agreement. You see, when the Bible says that if two or three of you, that if any two of you shall agree, what the Bible is saying is that if any two of you shall keep the same picture before you pray, that's what the Bible is saying. So if I say, agree with me in prayer, and you don't see the picture, technically, we are not agreeing. That's the truth. Technically, we are not agreeing. Because you don't see it. So he said, let us go down and divide their language. Because once their language was divided, there was no way I can now say to you that, oh yeah, put the beam there, put the block there. You won't hear what I'm saying. So when I said, Patrick, put the block and the beam over there, Patrick will think that I'm saying demolish it. Then he brings out the digger. Then Patrick will look at me and say, so put the wood over there. Then I will think that Patrick said to me, throw the wood downstairs. So after a few days, the guys could not move on because they didn't understand themselves again. Thus, they lost the ability to communicate pictures between them, amongst themselves, accurately. And that's the reason why someone walks in here and speaks a language you don't understand, you may feel offended. Because why? The guy is sending out signals and transmissions that you cannot receive with your radio. Do you understand? Your radio cannot decode the transmission and transform it into pictures inside your mind. So you'll be angry that what exactly is this guy saying? Simply because you don't understand the words being used to paint those pictures. Hallelujah. And that's hope. Hope is the picture. So the question is, how does this relate to our faith? And how does this relate to our existence? And how does this relate to the gospel? Let's turn our Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 11 to 12. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 11 to 12. This is our introduction to hope. Jeremiah chapter 1 verses 11 to 12 says, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. So what God was saying is that what you are seeing, which you have seen well, he says, I will hasten my word to perform it. So it means that even when there are areas in which we are believing God for something, we need to ensure that our ability to see that picture without it being clouded by circumstances around us will guarantee God making it come to pass. Hallelujah. And you see, The things that are happening around the world today, they are just things, you know, they come in as news. You just read about them in the papers, or you hear about them on TV. And all those things, Satan is directing them at your mind so that your hope for a great future will be eroded. Hallelujah. But if you understand how to cultivate hope, irrespective of what news is coming, then you are riding above the waves. Hallelujah. It means that you are above. You are above what disaster and devastation the world is presenting. Because it is a constant formula. God said nothing they have ever imagined shall be restrained from them. So it means that God has already told me that he is powerless in restraining what I am imagining. And Satan is also just as powerless in restraining what I have imagined. Hallelujah. And also, the world today is as powerless in restraining what I have imagined. It is only when my imagination has been eroded and tampered with, then that I come under a threat. Hallelujah. When Jesus went to the tomb of Lazarus, his hope was intact. If you check all his statement never betrayed weakness. And his statements never betrayed the fact that he wasn't sure whether Lazarus was going to come. He was sure. And they said to him, he has been dead 4 days now and he's thinking. What it means is that it is too late for us to consider or accept that the power of God can change this situation. Hallelujah. And we're going to come to that in a later stage. The element of time when it comes to hope. Because Satan also uses the pressure of time to erode our hope. He uses the pressure of time to erode our hope. Ah! After 3 years now, then hope is eroded. And we see it from the scriptures. It's not something peculiar to us. It's happened before. And we'll see that from the scriptures before we go. But in the meantime, God said, thou hast well seen, and I will hasten my word to perform it. Hasten means that I will hurry up my word to perform it. I hope you know that when you are driving in the night and you have very strong headlamps, you travel very fast. You understand? But if your headlamps are not strong, it means you can't see far. So you travel cautiously. He says, thou as well seen, I will hasten my word to perform it. So it means that the better you see, the faster you can travel. Hallelujah. The better you see, the faster you can travel. So it means let us take time off to ensure that we can see well. And seeing well means building up the hope that is on the inside of us. Hallelujah. We're going to quickly compare two kinds of hope and we'll round up today's segment of the message. Let's turn to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, we'll read from verse 17. At this point now, I want to start distinguishing between various types of hope that can exist. Romans chapter 4, I read from verse 17. It says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Then verse 18 says, who against hope believed in hope? Who against hope believed in hope? Now what the Bible is saying there is that there was a hope. But against that hope, Abraham believed in hope. So it meant that these were two kinds of hope that were conflicting. Because if I tell you that I'm going against something, it means that that thing is in conflict with me, isn't it? So if I say who against hope, means that that first hope was in conflict with the second hope. So we now need to define what kind of hopes they are. If I were to create my own translation of the New Testament, I would have written, who against natural hope believed in supernatural hope? So there is natural hope and there is supernatural hope. Now, how do you come about hope? Hope comes about because of information that you receive. It is the information that comes to you that gives you an idea of what to expect. Why did you start that course? Because you believed that when you are done with it, your income will increase. That's hope. Now that's natural hope because it came by natural sources. How did you get that hope from? Where did you get it from? You opened the newspapers and you saw the adverts for the jobs in that kind of career. And you saw that, man, today I'm on 18 grand per annum. If I study into this career, I could start at 32 grand per annum. Now, the information came to you and gave you the hope that when you attend that course and you excel and you do well, you will be able to request for that kind of income when you start applying for jobs. So that hope was put together by natural information. But let me tell you where the crux of the matter is. Natural information today that gives you a good hope can be withdrawn tomorrow. When it is withdrawn, then we say that the hope is lost. The information available to us is that when people are getting older, their chances of arriving at a child are diminishing. So God told Abraham, you're going to have a child, you're going to have a son. Abraham was already now clocking his late 90s. So the Bible says, who against natural hope? Because even back then, those days, they were smart enough to know that a 99-year-old man plus a 90-year-old woman are not the best candidates for children. So that natural hope was eroded. As in, if they ran into a doctor will say, look, you guys, have you considered adoption or, you know, other things? Because he's not going to make them believe that they're going to have a child. Because that hope is lost naturally. But the Bible says, who against natural hope believed in another kind of hope that it was going to happen. And that is where God wants to get us to be before the storm starts blowing on the world today. If you are not in the realm of supernatural hope, and everything you are doing today was built on natural hope, gradually these things are going to be withdrawn. And once they are withdrawn, then you will wake up in the morning and you will not be sure what is going to happen to you that day. Because your hope is gone. Because what sustains your hope is the information that brought it there. Supernatural hope is brought into your heart by divine information that does not change with the weather. Natural information changes with the weather. When the weather changes, your natural hope must change. That's the way it's structured. It must change. But when the weather changes, it does not change supernatural hope. So the question is, the hope you have today that your future is bright tomorrow, where did you get it from? What information brought it? And the test of where it came from will be found or will be carried out when the weather changes. And we'll see it from scriptures. So he says, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, divine information. Remember I said you communicate in what? Pictures, not words. So if I speak to you, what am I saying? What am I doing? I am sending pictures to you. So God sent pictures to Abraham, showing him that at age 100, he's going to have a son. Hallelujah. At age 100, he's going to have a son. He's not going to be too old for it. He had a picture from divine information. But natural information did not support that picture. So natural hope began to erode. In fact, that natural hope eroded to a point that Sarah now said to him, man, look, Sarah said to him, Sarah knew she was gone, naturally. So Sarah now said, since you still have, a little strength left, let me bring the housemaid so that we won't both be gone before we get smart. So let me bring the housemaid. You do it. And then at least we have a son. And his surname is Abraham as well. Praise the Lord. But then, even though they went on to carry out that act, God still showed to them that I know what I'm talking about. And when I say something, no matter how finished you think you are, I will still make it happen. Hallelujah. What is natural hope? What is supernatural hope? 1 year after we got married, one tube was lost. Ectopic pregnancy. Another year, they told us that the second tube is actually blocked or is stuck somewhere. So I think the guy didn't want us to cry inside the place. So he just said, well, you guys have 15% chances of ever having a child by the normal means. So maybe we would have to consider IVF. You see, that information was designed to take your natural hope away. When we left that place, my wife said to me, said, did you hear what the doctor just said now? I said, I heard. He said it. Now, say your own while we are still standing on the ground of that hospital of what must happen to you. Because the Bible says you have what you say, not what he said. And what you say must be coming out of a heart that is filled with divine information as to how you are going to arrive at your future. So if you are here today and you don't devote enough time to collecting divine information that will paint the picture and establish the picture of your future, then you are in for some games and fun in the days that lie ahead. Hallelujah. Let's go to Acts chapter 27, and read this story. Very interesting one. Acts chapter 27. Acts 27, we read from verse 14. Football, in football, they play a match, two teams play a match, and they score goals against each other. But there's a point you get to in the game. And when you consider the number of minutes left in the game, you begin to say to yourself that, no, I don't think this result will be able to change. It's all over, man. Let's switch off the TV or let's leave the stadium. You understand? Now, why would you think that way? You think that way because the natural information coming to you as to how many goals have been scored against your team and as to how many more minutes are left in the match, when you mix that those two pieces of information together inside your mind, then you mix it with the performance of your team that you are currently seeing on the field. You mix all those three together. You now arrive at a conclusion that there's no hope for these guys. Let's just go home. Why? Because that natural information makes you withdraw the hope. Man, hope is lost. Hallelujah. I'll read something that, and let me tell you one thing about, sporting teams. It is not only natural ability and skill that will put you over in sports. The state of your mind when you are at the brink of defeat has a lot to do with what can change. Hallelujah. The state of your mind. That's why people want to find out that if a team was being beaten in the first half, what did the manager say to them that made them turn the tide around in the second half? People are just interested. And what did they hear? There was a match yesterday. Fulham was being beaten by another team. Can't remember what team that was. Huh? What team is that? Oh, Fulham. Oh, Manchester City. Okay. But let me quote what the manager said after the match. He said, "It was a splendid victory for us. One we so badly needed." Now, Manchester City was leading 2-0 at halftime. And they beat Manchester City 3-2 at the end of the game. And the man said something. He said, "It looked bleak at halftime. And we had a mountain to climb. We didn't deserve to be losing, but we did it. At 0-2, I honestly thought we weren't out of it." Did you hear that? The man said they were losing 0-2. Said, "But I honestly thought we weren't out of it." And the man went on to say that, "I never lost hope, but to win it was extraordinary." Do you see the mindset now? The man said, "I never thought we were out of it." The moment you think you are out of it, you are really, really out of it. Hallelujah. If he thought they were out of it at halftime, the score would have been 4-0. Do you understand? So you are not out of it until you say you are out of it. Hallelujah. I believe that was enough time for us to get Acts 27 verse 14. He says, "But not long after there arose," before Acts 14, let me go to verse 9. He says, "Now when much time was spent and when sailing was now dangerous," I see what has happened here. I'll just tell the story and we'll just move quickly to verse 14. Now what happened was that Paul was going to board a ship, and Paul just had this nudge in his heart that something was going to go wrong on that voyage. So he went to the captain of the ship and said, "Look, I perceive that there's going to be much danger on this journey that I think we shouldn't go." The guy said, "We have heard you." Then they waited. And then all of a sudden, a wind began to blow that indicated that things were going to be favorable on that journey. That the wind was blowing the right direction at the right speed. And these guys just thought that Paul must have been talking rubbish. So let's go. So the journey started. When they had gotten to a point where it is too late to now say we made a mistake and quickly come back to where we started from, the weather just changed. Phew! And the storm started. And it was a bad one. Hallelujah. So that's where we're going to read from now. Then he says, nevertheless, okay, let's read verse 11. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the sheep more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenix. Then verse 13. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, losing thence, they sailed close to Crete. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. Hallelujah. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat. And when they are taken up, they used helps under guarding the ship and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, struck sail and so were driven. And we, being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. Lighting means they began to throw their luggage into the water. You understand? And he went on to say that, and the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days, remember I told you time and hope, in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Did you see that? You see, time versus hope is like a diminishing graph. The more time, the less hope. That once this thing has been going on for some time, the hope begins to drop. Are we sure this thing will ever happen again? Hallelujah. The sun and the stars did not appear for many days. They said, then all hope that we are going to be saved was taken away. And that is the way many of us in Christianity have been living our lives. We look at the calendar and we say, this thing has lasted 6 months. Man, it's all over. I've been believing God for this thing for 2 months and it hasn't changed. Well, let me just forget it. Because the sun and stars did not appear for many days, it says all hope was taken away. So it means that all the natural hope that they will ever survive was withdrawn. Because what also happens again is that Satan will use time to test you. That's when the time is ticking away, ticking away, ticking away, it will begin to attack your mind. Man, 2 weeks? You sure it's ever going to happen? 5 weeks? Are you sure it's going to ever happen? Married for 8 years now, no baby. Are you sure it's ever going to happen? Hallelujah. Job hunting now for 6 weeks? No interview yet. Are you sure it's ever going to happen? Hallelujah. But let's see what someone did here. Verse 21. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have listened to me and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer. He's talking to people who think they are going to die in the next minute now. And he's saying to them, you guys, chill out, man. Chill out, you know. They'll look at him and said, maybe this is the devil we need to throw out of the boat. Hallelujah. And then he said something. He said, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the sheep. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying divine information, bringing supernatural hope. Did you see that? After long abstinence. Abstinence means he cut the flesh. You see, when you don't cut the flesh, you must watch every TV program. You must go for every party. You must do everything minus pray and read the word. You see, when the wind starts blowing, the Euroclydon comes. Euro is Euro. It's coming over Europe. So when the thing starts coming, you will talk like them because you never fasted. You never prayed. You never read your Bible. You never abstained from the world. You see, the angel only appeared to Paul, who abstained from the world. He took a separation from the world to read his Bible. Look, if you don't have a lot of hope, you need to plug your ears with the word of God and listen to it repeatedly so that things can begin to transform on the inside of you. Divine information coming again, bringing supernatural hope. He says, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God has given you all the men that sail with you. Wherefore, says, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Did you see that? The divine information God gave to me has given me a picture that we are all going to survive this storm. And it is going to happen as God has said it, because I have received the picture. I have accepted the picture, even though Euroclydon was still blowing. Do you understand that now? So if they bring some news from the TV, from the radio, or from the road, and your heart does like this, huh, you know that you are lacking in divine information. Go back into the scriptures. Go back into abstinence. And go and receive divine information that will fortify your heart to the point where you can now tell the people who are running around that, boys, chill. This is what God has said. And this is what is going to happen. Don't mind the storm. Hallelujah. And that is where God wants us to be. So whether they are bringing news about inflation, recession, it has nothing to do with you. For nothing in the world to do with you. Because you are walking by divine information that is not subject to the weather of the land. Hallelujah. And whether you are walking by divine information or by BBC information, the weather shall tell. Hallelujah. When the Euroclydon comes in, then what is inside you will come out. Hallelujah. So before it comes, where we all have a level playing field, quickly get back into abstinence and plug yourself to the word of God for divine information. I'll close the meeting here. Today, Lord, I ask, oh God, that through the things that I have said today, you will speak directly to the hearts of your people. You will cause them to understand the message that has been put out today in the name of Jesus Christ. And you will also teach us on how to build new pictures that will be beneficial to our lives in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.